Good morning. Good morning. I'm Rob Muller, and I get the fun of opening up a new sermon series on anticipation, as you saw. And anticipation is a great thing. I think it's. I was talking to my son Stephen last night. He wanted to know what I was going to talk about, and he said, "Oh, isn't anticipation a lot like hope?" And you know, the two are intertwined. And but I want to talk about that, and I want to. I've just got a few verses for you, but if you know the Bible, if you only have a couple of verses, you can go a long way, right, Brother Carl? You told me that last time we were talking about that, you know. So anyway, anticipation is, and the title of my message is "Can't Wait to See What Comes Next," which is sort of redundant because that's kind of what anticipation is, right? You can't wait, right? Like, I know my wife Susan, she loves fresh fruit, and like, she can't wait for the first strawberries to come in, right? Because why? Because she knows what the first strawberries are of the season and how wonderful it is. And I think that anticipation can be built, and it grows when we have some facts to put around it. What do I mean by that? You know, the more you know about something, the more you can anticipate it, right? And it's true with God, but with God, it's not just facts that we're anticipating, it's truth. And there's a difference between truth and facts. You know, for hundreds, maybe thousands of years, it was a fact in most people's mind that the earth was flat. But what's the truth? The earth is round. And so more than just a fact about God is a truth about God. And I want to talk about that. And I want to pin our anticipation on two things. These two things are that anticipation flourishes when we know the truth of God's promises and his character, okay? God is always good for his promises, and God cannot act in a way that's inconsistent with his character. He always acts consistent with his own character. So God can, he's able, he's capable, and he will make good on his promises. When God promises something, it will happen. When God has a character, he acts out of it. So I want to start from a passage in Isaiah, the 40th chapter. It's up there now. No, it's not. There it is. Okay. Isaiah, it was a prophet of God. And see, the prophets of God are meant to bring truth to the people of God, right? And the prophet Isaiah was dealing with the people of Israel, the ancient Hebrew people, the Jews. And at this point in the 40th chapter, the people of Israel are complaining about God. I don't know about you. I have to say, I felt in my heart, God, are you paying attention to me sometimes? God, do you know what's going on? And I try to avoid that because I know it's wrong now. I know the truth. But, you know, we all slip away. And what the prophet's now trying to do is he's trying to draw the people back to the truth of God so that they can wrap their hands around it. So the important thing that you got to know, and I got to give you an example before I go to the prophet, but it's worthwhile to have it up there. I want to give you a story, quick story. It's a football story. It's a made-up football story, so it comes out the way I want it to come out. And but imagine a football game. You know, football is a game that's worked on timetables, right? There's minutes and seconds and so on. There's a clock. And in a professional football game, you know, there's a like at the end of the game, there's a two-minute warning, right? That's the crunch time, right? And sometimes it doesn't make any difference. The game is won or lost already. It's irretrievable. But imagine this game where just before the three-minute warning, the opposing team scores a touchdown. And even if that's not bad enough, now your team is behind by three possessions of the football. Maybe two touchdowns and a field goal is you got to have them to win. Now, that's a pretty tall order, not impossible, but it's a pretty tall order. And then say, I'm making all this up to fit so it works right. Then say you're called away. You don't get to see the rest of the game, and you're out shopping maybe at the grocery store later on. And somebody comes up, Carl, and they say, "Hey, did you see the end of the game?" "No, I got called away." "Hey, we won." You go, "What? We won? Let me tell you about it." "No. I don't know about you. You may be one of them people that want him to tell you. No, I want to see it. I want to go back and see it because I can't wait to see what comes next. I can't wait to see what comes next because we're so far behind And now I've got some facts, right, that are around this circumstance that let me have this very, very high anticipation. And imagine this. What happens if a minute runs off the clock? Doesn't matter what the score is yet. But imagine there's only a minute left now and your quarterback throws an interception. What happens? Your heart drops in your chest and you're like, oh, but then you remember, we win. Then the craziest thing happens. In the midst of an interception or a fumble, your anticipation goes up even more. Isn't that crazy? It goes up more. Why? Because you know two facts. You know the truth of the game. And now you can't. Now you're like, now I can't even imagine what's going to happen next. But I can't wait to see it. Can that bring up some anticipation inside of you that you know the ending? Well, it's, you know, guess what? That's the way it is with God, right? We're behind with God. There's sin in our lives, which is what separates us from God. Pastor Craig talked about this a couple of weeks ago, and he's talked about it many times. It's a great illustration. You know, in English, sin is a three-letter word with what? I in the middle of it. And if you want to get a handle on sin, just say, I want to do what I want to do. No, I'm in charge of me. That kind of stuff, that's right there with sin, right? And the S is Satan on one side. The N is nothing on the other side. That's sin, right? I want to do what I want to do. So we're behind in the game, and it's not a game. It's your life. But when we come to God, we know that God wins in the end. And when we're with God, when we're in sync with God, then we win too. So you can live your whole life in anticipation of the promises of God and the character of God in your life. Now, the challenge is, and I won't say it's simple. The challenge is that it's not 120 seconds on the clock in a football game. It's the rest of your life. But you know, when you've got eternity in front of you, right now is the beginning of a really long time of the rest of your life. And so it's not as long as you think if you just live in anticipation of God's promises and God's character. So back to the prophet. The prophet is talking to the people of Israel. They're complaining about God. He's not paying attention. He's not doing what he's not holding up his end of the bargain. And here's how it goes. The prophet says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my rights are disregarded by my God. Wah, 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 right? Complaining about God. And what does the prophet say next? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. See, he's bringing them back to the truth of God so that he can build their anticipation back up. You see what I'm saying? Have you not known? Have you not heard? I love the have you not heard because what is Paul, the great evangelist, the great writer of so much of the New Testament? What does he say? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. Some translations say faith comes by hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. This is not some joker down the street. This is not your neighbor. This is not the government or some king somewhere. This is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Wrap your hand, yourself around that truth and see how that builds up some anticipation within you. And then the prophet goes on to give them an example of what happens when we live in the anticipation of God's truth. He says, God, he gives power to the faint. To him, he gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, he increases strength. See, that's what comes from grasping the truth of God being the Almighty God, the creator of the ends of the earth, and not asleep at the wheel. He's not on a coffee break. He's not tired. He's able to do what he says he'll do, and he will do it. That's what the prophet's trying to bring them back to. That's just to set the stage. We're done with the prophet Isaiah. There's plenty of great stuff in there. I recommend the book to you highly. Okay, let's go to Psalm 91. I'm going to give you what I'm going to give you for the next few minutes is just some examples of some promises or some things of the character of God that you can grasp onto, the truth of God that can build anticipation in your life. And let me say this really clearly. The Bible is full of promises of God and full of descriptions of who God is and what God can, will, and always will do, okay? It's full of them. We couldn't begin to scratch them. In fact, I'm using the last two verses of Psalm 91 just to give you an example, because there's eight things in the two verses alone. Imagine what's in the whole Bible. There's eight things in two verses alone that tell us about God. So I encourage you back to the Bible. The exercise is left to the student. You may study it at your will, and then you can find out all the other promises of God, and you can spend the rest of your life doing it, and it'll be awesome, okay? Let's talk about Psalm 91. He says, because he comes to me in love, I will deliver him. That's one. I will protect him because he knows my name. Two. When he calls to me, I will answer him. Three. I will be with him in trouble. Four. I will rescue him. Five. And honor him. Six. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Seven and eight. Two verses. The Bible's full of stuff like this. It's a power-packed document, just full of all this kind of great stuff, okay? And by the way, show him my salvation and with long life I will satisfy him. They're tied together, but that's a topic for a whole other message. And you want to know about that too, so stick around. We'll hit that topic along the way as well. What about God's character? I'll give you three examples. Again, the exercise is left to the student. In your home study notes, I suggest that you try to talk about God's character with other people in your group and in your family, and say, okay, well, this is what God is like. What this is God's character. What does God do because of his character? Because he always acts from his character. So God is love, right? God is love. But God doesn't just float around going, I'm love, feel love, be happy, feel love. No, what does the Bible say? John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might not perish but have everlasting life. See, God loves us, and he wants to draw us back to him. So what did he do? He gave us Jesus, okay? God is gracious. We know that about God's character. God, the Psalms are full of, the Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. God is gracious. How does God act? Well, John, one of Jesus' disciples, said it this way in a letter to somebody. He said, if we say we have no sin, the truth is not in us, and we deceive ourselves. But if we confess our sin, God, who's faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what does God do? Because he's gracious, he forgives our sins, and he cleanses us from unrighteousness. I'll give you one more, and this just came to me literally yesterday or 2 days ago. God is compassionate. What is one thing that God acts out of his compassion? He heals. We pray to God all the time for healing. God is compassionate. He heals. One of my favorite ones, and it finally came to me. Here I am working on this thing for weeks, and now it just came to me the other day, so it's not in your notes. First chapter of Mark, a leper comes to Jesus, and he says to Jesus, he says, if you will, I will be healed. What does Jesus say? I will. Isn't that awesome? Makes me smile every time I read it. If you will, I'll be healed. I will. And what it says to me is two things. One, it's part of my will to heal you, and I'm going to do it, which is awesome. God will always act out of his promises and out of his character. Okay? Let's go back to Psalm 18, which is kind of where I started with this thing. So I'm working my way back to just three verses. So we've only covered, I think, four or five verses in the Bible so far. So, you know, we could go all day if we use, 10 verses, but we're not going to get that far, okay? So Psalm 18 starts this way. I love you, O Lord, my strength. Isn't that awesome? See, the poet here, the psalmist, the songwriter, is talking about a relationship with God. I love you, O Lord. That's where he starts. And isn't it interesting that Psalm 91, the section where we hear God speaking, God says, because he comes to me, he joins together with me in love, I will deliver him. See, God is looking for a love relationship from us back to him. Now, I will tell you, I've come to God in my life, maybe you have, out of guilt, out of fear, out of anger, etc. There's lots of ways you turn to God. Now, for me, I'm not going to prescribe anything for you. For me, I've come to the conclusion that if something turns me back to God, that's a good direction. Okay, so that's a good thing. And I think God, you know, understands us. He made us. He understands kind of how things work. But I think what God ultimately wants is for us to be in this I love you, O Lord, relationship. Okay? And the other key word here is Lord. You see, sin is I want to do what I want to do. Sin is I'm in charge of me. Lord is someone else is in charge of me. And in this case, it's God. I love you, O Lord, he says. I'm getting out of the game of running me, and I'm going to let you run me. I love you, O Lord, my strength. And, of course, I'm tying that back to our friend Isaiah, who said, the Lord, to him who has no might, he increases strength. Isn't that awesome? If the Bible is just so tied together. My wonderful young son, Matthew, he tells me it's the first meta document. You know, it's like hyperlinked, but on paper kind of a thing, you know. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Here's some things you can anticipate. A rock, a firm foundation from God. How about a fortress built on a rock? That's God. And how about my deliverer? I'll give you a picture, an image. You can ask my daughter, you know, what movie it's from. It's from one of the Lord of the Ring movies, you know, people on horseback, swords and armor and evil, the forces of evil fighting the forces of good. And here's the scene. The forces of evil are out and about, and they're pushing all the good people off of their land, and they're attacking them and killing them, and they're seeking to destroy the forces of good. And the forces of good retreats to a fortress that's not just built on a rock, it's built in a rock, like inside of a mountain. It's that strong. And yet the forces of evil just keeps advancing and advancing and advancing. And there's thousands of them, and they're lined up in those squares like you see on a parade ground, you know, of an army. And they just keep coming and coming. And now they're throwing rocks, and they're trying to break down the wall of the fortress. And what do the people think? I don't know what they're thinking. But then over the hill comes an army on horseback, thundering down the hill, crashing down the hill, and they crash into the side of the forces of evil, and they push them aside, and they break them up, and they destroy them, and they save the people in the fortress. And here's what you can anticipate from God, that God is the rock that the fortress is built on, and he's also the army coming over the hill when you don't know what's going to happen next, when everything looks like it's lost. God's the deliverer who comes back at you. How about another little piece of Psalm 18? Then he goes on to say, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. Isn't that awesome? And you might say, oh, the poet's wasting some words. We already heard God. We already heard rock. Come on, give us something new. What I like about that is this, that it brings us back to God right early in the psalm, okay? And one of my favorite verses from Wisdom, Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with your whole heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, remember the prophet? He said, God's understanding is unsearchable. How's yours? You know, I've heard Pastor Craig, you know, say it when he's talking to people, you know, hey, you want to be in charge of you? How's that going for you? Yeah. How's that going for you? Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make straight your paths. Well, he'll direct your paths. See, it's really important to always come back. It's important to put God in the center and always come back to God, good or bad. You know, we even forget to come to God when good things happen and say thank you. It's common enough. There's a Bible story of the 10 lepers, and only one came back to say thank you. And Jesus said, weren't 10 guys healed here? What's going on? Where are the rest of them, right? It's you got to come back to thank God. But when you're in trouble, when you're angry, when you're scared, when you don't know how you feel, but you feel awful, that's when you go to God. And if you're feeling like you've done wrong to somebody or to God, and you feel that sin pressing in on you, that's absolutely the most important time for you to circle back to God and go, my God, my rock, in whom I take refuge. Refuge is so important. It's so emotional to me. I'm the father of five, and you know when your kids are small and they're upset about something or something going on, They need a safe place, don't they? They need to feel secure. And what do? You pick them up, right? You put their head on your shoulder, and you tap them on the back, or you rock back and forth. And what do? You go, shh, it's okay. It's all right. It's okay. I'm here now. You know, I got it. It's going to all be okay. I've got you now. And there's so many times in my life, I'm glad I can anticipate it, that it's a truth of God and a promise of God to be our refuge. And I can go, God, I got to have a hug, man. I got to have a hug. Can you pick me up? Can I get my head on your shoulder? Can I hear you say, I got this. It's going to be all right. Take it easy. Take a breath. You need a place of safety, like a refuge, like a wildlife refuge, you know? And then the first three verses wraps up like this. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Now, a stronghold is like a fortress, but better, which is awesome, all right? But what about my shield? You know, Psalm 91 says, in a different part than what we read earlier, it says, his faithfulness, God's faithfulness, is a shield and buckler. And Psalm 18 says, you're my shield, God. How about anticipating God as the shield in front of you? How about anticipating, you know, what one of the other psalmists said, I have fled to you for refuge. These are the things that you can anticipate from God. My shield, what about the horn of my salvation? Got a weird image for you. I know I'm pretty sure it's not biblical because I don't think they had Thanksgiving the same way we do in America back in biblical times. But you know those cornucopias? Like when I was a kid, I don't know, you were a teacher, Lauren. Did they have them up on the bulletin boards when you're in school? You know, that's what they do when I was a kid. The horn of plenty, right? All the fruits and vegetables and stuff. It's just a never-ending, abundant harvest. Well, how about a horn of plenty where salvation comes out of it? That's the picture I get. See, there's plenty of salvation. There's enough for you. There's enough for me. There's enough for everybody in the world. And it's a never-ending stream. And you may think, well, I'm not worthy of salvation. You don't know who I've been, where I've been, what I've done, etc. Well, again, Paul, that great Bible writer, that great letter writer, he said this, paraphrased. He said, one of the greatest, coolest things about God is that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's plenty of salvation for everybody. There's a cornucopia of thanksgiving, a cornucopia. And here's the last thing. The first three verses ends up this way. I call on the Lord, who's worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. And I think, oh, that's sort of anticlimactic. I mean, we got fortresses, and we got deliverers, and we got shelter, we got refuge, etc. And now it's, I call on the Lord, he's worthy to be praised, and I'm saved from my enemies. But isn't that a great way to live in anticipation, that it's just that much a part of you, that you go, when I call on God, he's worthy, he's capable, he's able, he can, and he will do what he says he's going to do. So I'm saved from my enemies. It's done. Just like we heard in Brother McCain's story, it's done. It's a done deal now. Did you pray about it? Did you talk to God about it? Yep. Okay, well, it's done then. We're done. It's awesome. There's one thing about anticipation that I want to wrap up with, and it's this. What about anticipation when things are going poorly? And I want to share with you 2 Corinthians, the first verse, the first chapter, the third and fourth verse. And I got this from a YouVersion Bible verse of the day clip, and I highly recommend it to you. We can't use it for copyright purposes. I wish we could show it to you. But you can go back to YouVersion, the Bible app, and you can go to August 16th, 2023, 2 weeks ago, August 16th, and it's a young woman by the name of Lydia Laird. She's a Christian recording artist, at least that's what she says she is, and she does a little meditation on this. And what does it say? It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. There's a few things to anticipate from God, you know, comfort and mercies, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And she does a beautiful little meditation. I just want to share a couple of things. She says, how many times in my life has God or one of God's people fed into my life because they've been through what I'm going through right now, and they're able to make my life better because of it? While we were talking about, I was talking about it with my family last night, and my wife, Susan, she had a diagnosis a few years back of breast cancer. She's perfectly fine and healed now. But she was in a Bible study with some, you know, not surprisingly, there's, you know, one out of eight women have this diagnosis at some point in their life, according to stats. But then she was in a Bible study with other people who'd had that experience. And guess what? They could feed into her life. They could comfort her in her affliction because they'd been comforted in their affliction. It's an awesome thing that allows you to flip the script on tribulation, on affliction, on problem. And she said this. This is what got me. Because what's my title? I can't wait to see what comes next. I can't wait to see what's next. And she's talking, and she goes, and here's the crazy thing, she says. Now when I'm going through something, when I'm in some kind of affliction, I get this weird thing in the back of my head where I go, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this. Isn't that something? Doesn't that just, it takes the edge off of affliction, and it lets you flip the script on it. And just like if you have a fumble in the football game in the last 2 minutes, but you know you win, you can say, okay, all right, but we still win. Now what? I can't wait to see what God will help me do, what God will do in my life and what God will help me do for other people. Isn't that awesome? It's just, you know, this anticipation is a great way to live. And like I said at the beginning, the challenge is it's the rest of your life on this earth, but it's not forever. And you got to stick with anticipation. So what do you got to do? You got to come back to God. You got to come back to God regularly and build that back up. You got to, you know, rejuvenate that, so to speak. So let me wrap up and say this. There's just one thing. I'm a simple guy. We live in anticipation of God's presence and movement in our life when we know God's character and his promises. Okay? I said that early. I've said it several times. I'm saying it to wrap up. That's what you got to do. Now, What next? Well, first, and I question myself. Well, how are you going to say this, Rob? I don't know. You got to be direct and maybe even kind of a little blunt. So what's the first thing you got to do? You got to come to God. Okay? That's the deal. You got to come to God. Because if you don't come to God, or if you don't, not part of God's plan, if you haven't, you know, seen Jesus as your Lord, then so much of what I've been talking about, It's not as powerful for you. You got to come to God. And it's not hard. It's not challenging. You know, you got to get out of your own way. You know, the Bible says you got to die to yourself. Well, here's the deal. Paul, again, I guess I gave Paul a lot of credit today. He's a great writer. He said this: if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's what you got to do. And I don't know any other way to say it except I got to just be direct about it. And we would love for that to happen for you. We're going to have prayer partners. We're going to have, you know, we'll pray with you. We'll walk with you. But you don't need anybody else to do this. You just got to get out of your own way and say, okay, I'm not in charge of me anymore. Lord Jesus, you're in charge of me. And I believe that you died on the cross, and that's the victory over sin and death and the power of the devil. And that is the end of the game. And I get to live that out in anticipation. Okay, three things to do. I say the same thing over and over again. I apologize a little bit at 9:30, and then somebody came up to me afterwards and said, I had a friend here who's like, it was their first time here, and they really needed to hear it. So it's simple. What are the three things you need to do? One, talk to God. Here at church, we call that prayer. Okay. And, I don't like to talk to people. It's okay. Blah, blah. Hey, if you talk to God, I promise you this, he'll never laugh at you. He'll always listen to you. You can be angry. You can be hurt. You can be tired. You can be frustrated. You can be happy. You can be joyous. You can be anything. God wants to hear from you, okay? Second thing is you got to put your arms around these truths of God. You got to start surrounding your life with the truth. I'm behind in the game, but then we win. Okay, now I got to get a grasp on that. How can you get a grasp on the truth of God? Well, everything that we know about God's promises, well, let me take that back. I don't want to discount the move of the Holy Spirit, but pretty much everything we know about God's promises and God's character is encompassed in his word, okay? That's where you'll find hope and anticipation for your future. And the last thing is getting community. Community is so useful, so helpful. And it helps the other two things too, you know, like, oh, I don't know how to pray. I don't like to pray, whatever. Hey, get with a community group here at Christ the King, and I can promise you, somebody will be praying before you start with the community group, and someone will pray when you're done. You'll hear prayer, and you'll hear, if you come to church, you'll hear the answers to prayer, etc. You'll get wrapped up in what prayer is all about. It's a good thing. How about a community group? How would you like to be a part of God's character expressing itself in the world? What about the food pantry, feeding people that have needs? What about the children's ministry, helping young children come to know the truth of God? How about the youth ministry? How about the prayer ministry? How about the worship ministry? There's so many ways that you can be a active part of what God's all about if you get into community. But then if you just want to know more about God and you don't know his word and you're like, oh, I feel like an idiot if I go to a Bible study. I didn't have a Bible until I downloaded the app, kind of a thing. Hey, just go. And when you get there, just say to people, you know what? I don't know a lot about this. But I can't wait. See, anticipation. I can't wait to hear what you people got to say. I'd love to know more. And guess what? Those people that you're in community with, they will love to hear that from you, and they will help you, and they will share with you, and they will bring you along with them as they look for better understanding of who God is and what he promises. Okay? So today, that's all I got. Today, we're going to have the prayer partners at the end, up back in the corner here. We're going to have communion in the back of the church as well. And I want to pray, but we're done now. I want you to all have a great week and come back next week. Next week is Bring a Friend Week, okay? So there you go. Bring a friend, all right? And let's pray. God, thanks for the opportunity from me to speak on your behalf. And I pray that whatever I said that was not right or was wrong, that you help correct. And anything that I say that's useful, that you magnify in everybody's mind, and that anybody who needs it can take away some truth today to understand your promises, to understand your character, to understand how that can build up the anticipation of your presence and your move in their life. And I pray that on behalf and for everyone here that can hear my voice, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.